So my main role is, I've been in construction my whole life, and what we do is we organize trips to go down. We take people down. We work on different projects. How we do that is we raise money. We have fundraisers. We have dinners, silent auctions, etc. So when we raise enough money to do a project, we'll take people down and we'll do them. When you go down there, the first trip, you know, there's stuff that sticks in your mind and in your heart. We were up in Quiche, which is in the mountainous area. We were in the compound there, and there was one of the missionaries was talking to a small Mayan man. He was probably, 5 foot, 4 foot, 10, whatever, very small people. And he was a pastor. He rode around on an old lady's bicycle, ministering to different people in that area, giving him a little bit of money, doing a few odd jobs. And he had a smile from ear to ear. The love of God was really on this man. And we prayed with him. We gave him a little bit of money. And he took off on his bike and he was gone. And we were just talking a little bit about it between ourselves, Melanie and I. And the missionary, Fred, he said, if you hadn't known this man 10 years before, he was a guerrilla fighter during the revolution. A lot of you know there was a revolution in Guatemala. And he was there. He had a Russian assault rifle that he would carry around. And it's just how God has brought this man from, you know, from darkness to light. So it was one of the things that really stuck in my head. There was a lot of you know what's going on at the border. All these people are coming up from Guatemala and different places in Central America. We had gone, this was actually a little early, we went to this woman's house, actually just a 20 by 20 hut. And her husband had gone into the States a few years before that to get a job. He sent money back for probably a year, 6 months, whatever it might have been. And that stopped. She had two daughters. They were in their late 30s to early 40s. And same thing. Both their husbands had left and sent money back for a while. Each one of these ladies had four kids. So, you know, you don't want to get political, but we really pray for these people that are coming up because we know some of the things that happened to them on the way. And we've heard stories. We were just down 2 weeks ago, and one young man, came back, and he had just barely got back with his life because they'd taken everything he had. The drug cartels, and that, they're hard at work. So, anyway, I'm just going to pass it over to Melanie now, and yeah.
Rhonda made reference earlier about the extra envelope. She wanted me to say something about that. You can take that home and fill out the form if you want to. There's an address on there. We were going to specifically give that offering to a program that was started 4 years ago by a Canadian that went down and visited the inner city work in inner city Guatemala, built over the former garbage dump. And she saw that these children, many of them, had sight impairment. And to go and see a specialist is unreachable. These people have no money for that type of thing. And although basic medical and dental is provided, that would be a specialty item. So this would provide for them. They funded it to start with, funded it for a full eye examination and glasses if needed. And so if that's on your heart today, that's specifically what that envelope's for. I'd like to open with the scripture. It is from the book of Matthew, Matthew 25, 35 and 36, familiar to a lot of you. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to me. And this is a scripture that really bears fruit in Guatemala. These are the kinds of reaching out ministries that are happening. We have seen the Holy Spirit on the move in great ways there over the years that we have been involved, which is only 20, but the ministry itself in Guatemala has been going nearly 40 years and about 13 years in Albania. over that time, people, young people that have come through the program are now working in the program. They are the cooks, they are the leaders, they are the evangelists, they are the teachers. Some of them are pastors, have gone off to Bible school. It's an incredible, productive, and fruitful work. And we feel a great privilege to have been able to start the Canadian office and to be able to promote it from here. There are other offices in other countries around the world, but this is pretty grassroots in Canada. And we're going to give a challenge today for Peninsula Mission to maybe join with us on that call. And we offer an opportunity for a reciprocal involvement for people to come out and not only just see the work, but actually do something and to visit their own sponsor child. And with that, I would like to say that sponsorship is a strategy that is used by the Lord to connect people like yourselves and us with an underprivileged child in one of these countries. And so, although there's many other sponsorship organizations, this is one that we can verifiably say is an amazing work. It's really bearing incredible fruit. And so I have brought today some profiles that I really don't want to take home. You heard them say there was about 3,000 kids that still need sponsors. And so I'm going to ask Lynn, would you come up and pass these around? I've got a few profiles here today. I would like you to look them over. And if it's something the Lord puts on your heart to sponsor, you can come and talk to me later. It's $35 a month, so a couple of lunches or less, coffee every day. And we'd really love for you to be a participant with us in this work that many, Pastor John was here today, has been a couple of times, and Rhonda's been several times, and many people in Victoria have been able to come and be a part of this wonderful work. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had the privilege of going yet again. We've lost track of how many times we've gone because we've been involved for so long. But our young pastor from Gateway Baptist, Aaron Dick, he said, what is this ministry you're involved in? I've been hearing so many stories from the people here that have gone or participated in a work project of one kind or another. I want to know what this is about so I can actually take it to my leadership team and say, you know, this is something we want to get under or not. So we said, sure, bring it on. We want you to come. We want you to see how incredible how realistic and reachable this actually is for people here. And so we quickly got a hold of our counterparts, Steve McDaniel, who you saw on there, who is the director overall, and he said, yeah, come. We've got a medical dental evangelistic team coming in. It's a campaign they do once a year up in the most remote areas. And so we tagged in with them. They come in to do a major program once a year up in this remote area to open it up to the further community of men and women, old and young, babies, teenagers, old people, even visits into homes where people can't get out. And so for the first time, we got to participate in that, and it was a real eye-opener. We are not medical and dental people. But
we need the slides.
We do need the slides. You're right. So I'm going to put that on. All this technology, my goodness. Okay. I think it's on. There we go. I'm going to just, that's one. I'm going to move it forward to, these are just our pictures, so they're not the best quality, but that's another sweetheart. This is rather dark. I don't know if you can shut that light off there or not, but these people would gather up in this most remote area, way up in the Quiche Mountains, which is about 9,000 plus feet up. And they would be waiting before dawn to come and see a doctor or a dentist. And that lineup, the picture doesn't do it justice, but it went way back. There were hundreds of people there. And like I said, they were waiting for hours. And there was a tented area set up prior to them coming in where they could come and they had bottles of water for them and stuff like that. But more than that, they had living water. They had evangelists that spoke the Quiche dialect that had been mentored through the program speak to them. And for you that like statistics, I took the statistic home with me and it was pretty incredible. Over the 6 days that they ministered, two in this program and two in other programs where they have multi-purpose buildings. They saw 2,351 patients, and there were 201 salvations. And I mean, this is really grassroots, cool stuff. This is life-changing. This is eternal stuff. And this isn't just pray and go. These people are actually discipled later on and brought into the fold. And we've seen it. We've seen it with the original doctor in the program, who was the first child that came through, and he's now the head of the medical over all of the programs, the 11 programs in Guatemala. So what else did I want to say? Yeah, just really, if you would consider in your heart some kind of participation with us. We know that life is tough here, and there are needs right here in Victoria, in North Saanich, in all of our communities. And we don't negate that. It's very real. But there's a white harvest field out there. The fields are ripe. And for us to be able to go and see what God is doing is such an encouragement for us. We think we're going there to do good works, but in fact, what happens is that God comes back on us and said, look what I've done in your heart, what I've shown you, that yes, we can bring people into the kingdom because they're ready, and they're so ready. So I just want to, these pictures are, like I say, apologize, they're just off my little camera. Does this anybody but recognize this guy? Yeah, it's Pastor John. Okay, that was a couple of years ago, I think, and he was visiting one of his sponsored children at that time. And these are just some lovely children getting some food. This is, this is jumping. This is the volcano near where we stay in Antigua. It that's has erupted.
Agua. That's a dead one, Agua.
That's Agua, so that's the one that's not active. A couple of them have been active over the time. We've never had a problem, but there has been problems in Guatemala with volcanoes. There's a chicken bus for you, Pastor Travis. And the medical team got to ride up the mountain in that, so that was pretty cool. We don't normally go in those. We usually ride in the back or in those trucks or in vans. But anyway, there's Gary. We were all hands on deck, like I said, at that medical dental campaign. We were splitting fluoride pills. I think we did probably 6 million of them. No, it wasn't that many, but a lot of them. And they pulled us in for all kinds of things. We held flashlights for the dentists. Pastor Aaron, I think he's in here. There he is. Pastor Aaron was with his gloves on. He was sterilizing needles for the anesthetic for the dentists. And then he was taking the instruments over and putting them in a pressure cooker so that they could be sterile for the next and the next patients. They had like a pop-up clinic in this area where they put up these tables for the dental work. And there's the pharmacy handing out medicines as the doctors and dentists prescribed. And this little gal, she reminded me of my 12-year-old granddaughter, the mama. She's so tiny and so sweet. And this is her little baby that came in, was having breathing difficulties, and so they had the baby on the nebulizer for a time there. But just so very precious. This little girl, she just wanted her picture done. She just wanted it taken so badly. She kept coming up to me and smiling and smiling. And a lot of them are very shy. They don't want their picture taken. But she really wanted her picture taken. So she was very happy when I was able to show her that picture back, that she had her picture taken. They're beautiful kids. That's some of the chairs, pop-up chairs they used. And that's us with one of our sponsored families. They had a little tienda, a little store outside of the compound where she was selling fruit and some kind of deep-fried something. I'm not sure what it was. But you can see the man himself. He's, with his hat on, he's probably 5 foot. And they are very tiny people. But just, you could see the joy of the Lord as they're being renewed. And what I'd also like to say is that these are, up until 2005, these were an unreached people group. They're Mayan, they were up in the high mountains, and they had watched for a number of years what was going on further down the mountains, and they were being very careful because they'd heard stories that maybe these gringos were grabbing their children for body parts, you know, just terrible things. So they watched for several years, and then their elders came to the director at the time and said, we want you to come and help our children. So by invitation, the ministry doubled overnight as this new area called Cuatro Caminos opened up. And so since 2005, people who have never heard the gospel before have heard it. And many, many are coming to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. And with that, I'm going to leave it. But again, I challenge you to take a look at those profiles and to ask the Lord if this is something that you could participate with us in. And thank you very much.
And we just want to invite Pastor John to come up. He's going to speak a little bit here. So come on up, John.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Melanie. The chicken bus, the real reason why it's called the chicken bus is they drive so fast down there that they play chicken with all the rest of the traffic. I'm serious, right? They dart in and out of a traffic like they were a sports car. And that's the real reason why they call it the chicken bus. Forget the chicken business, okay? Anyway, thank you so much. I've got so many stories to tell. I had the privilege of going down to Guatemala on two separate occasions. And Gary and Melanie suggested that the Mayan people are very, very small people, and they are. And some of them would be about that high, and I'm not. And as a result, it was like Mutt and Jeff all over the place. And the little kids would come up to me like this. They wouldn't stop looking at me, and they wouldn't stop following me. And I didn't understand the reason why. But let me tell you something. I feel one of the most important elements of any organization is the integrity of the organization. Wouldn't you agree? So I went down there, I'm going to say 12, 15 years ago for the first time. And I'm a skeptic at heart. I love people. I like people. But I watch very closely. And I want to tell you something, that when I went down there, it didn't take me long to realize these people are filled with integrity. You give your $35 a month, only about three or four of those dollars is used for administration costs. All the rest goes to the family. And Stephen, who you saw as the director down in Guatemala, what a godly man. And when Aaron Dick came back from Guatemala, his first words to his congregation was this: when I grow up, I want to be just like them. That shows the integrity of the people. And I love the ministry down there. You go down there and you have hundreds and hundreds of these children lined up in order to receive their food. And oh, by the way, the food is good. Wouldn't you say so, Rhonda? Isn't that some of the best fried chicken you've ever had? Colonel Sanders has nothing on them. And they lined up. And then what was beautiful is to watch how so many of them afterwards went into a back room for discipleship classes. They would walk for hours and miles to come down to these feeding stations. And then they would go to these discipleship classes afterwards to hear about Jesus. And so refreshing. And then further to that, during the tour that we were on, a 10-day tour, and they treated us royally, by the way. I felt like a special guest every day of the week. It was awesome. And then they took us to a room where there was about 24 young people, probably in their late teens and early 20s, all dressed up in red outfits. I think they had red T-shirts on. I don't know what color they were anymore, not having a terrific memory these days. And these were the young people who graduated from the discipleship classes and became evangelists in their community. I thought, that's incredible. Isn't that incredible? You have these children who are fed, who go into discipleship classes, and then become evangelists for Christ in their community. That's the integrity of the organization. And I could tell you story after story after story, because we heard a lot down there. One of the things that we were given the privilege to do was visit our sponsoring children, the children that we sponsor. Lynn and I sponsored a couple of children for a number of years. And we had to travel. Did you see that white 4x4 with the steel enclosure? Well, we stood up in the back, and we were driven up to the 9,000-foot level of the mountains, And it's interesting, when you're up there, you start to walk, you don't breathe as easily as you used to do, right? And so they said, okay, John, you're going to sponsor you're going to visit your sponsoring child. You saw the picture of me. I didn't realize I looked like that. Anyway, you saw the picture of me, and we had actually walked about a kilometer and a half through fields, over mountains, up steps, along a well-groomed path to the house of our child that we sponsored. And we gave them gifts, and we gave them beans, and we gave them all kinds of things. And we had a terrific visit. I discovered afterwards that the reason why the path was so well-groomed is because the grandfather, I kid you not, an elderly gentleman in his 70s, so tall, spent the whole week grooming the trail, cutting out notches in the hills so that these visitors from Canada could have an easy trip to their house. I was so humbled by that. He did that for me. And I thought, this is absolutely incredible, you know? And I can go on and on. The story is to tell. I think I may well have... Thank you. I may well have... told this story here before, and if I have, forgive me. But this was one of the most amazing and memorable experiences of my time there. One other visit we did some house visitation. There was about five of us on the team, plus a couple of people who led the way. And it was like the old missionary style. We walked up hills through cornfields, and we came to this enclosure, not very large, but very dirty, and a few small buildings, and a couple of older people. And around the compound, there were also three grown-up children. We walked in there. We gave them the beans. We gave them the gifts. We gave them some cash. We did all kinds of things. And then the missionary who was with us, Steve, you saw his picture, he said to the man, the older man, who was the father, is there something we can pray for you about? And he said to us, he said, my son has kind of like a flesh-eating disease on his leg. Can you pray for him that your God would heal him? So Steve looks at me and he says, okay, brother, you got to muster up some faith here. And so the son was brought forward. He sat on a chair, and a couple of our young people came and put hands on his leg. And we began to pray. I have never experienced the presence of God so thickly as I did then. And I thought, what kind of a God does this? In a dirty, filthy place, he comes and visits in a way that I have never experienced in my life. Not in a beautiful church like this. Not at a Billy Graham crusade, but in a mean, dirty, ugly place like that. One of our girls, her tears just fell, and created a puddle on the ground. And we finished our time of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? We walked away in such silence we couldn't speak for half an hour or more. We tried to find out on our next trip, you know, what the result of that was. We never could find out. We didn't know. But all I know is that God was there, and it was real. And that's a demonstration of the integrity of this ministry that I so strongly, strongly support. Rhonda, are you going to say some things now? I can go on and on, but you don't want to hear. Oh, Lynn wants to say something. This is my wife, Lynn, and I'm well off script by now.
I just felt that something that really mattered in terms of the integrity and the beauty is very close friends of ours, of course, Travis and Dixie, over the years, many years. In fact, they married John and I. But very close friends of ours are Gary and Melanie. They came to the church that we had, and we just, I'll use the term, fell in love with them right away because they're so honest and honorable, and they represented this adopt-a-child ministry, and it meant a lot to me to see them walking the walk, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk, full of integrity, and we just love Gary and Melanie. Sometimes Gary nudges me out of the way and stuff like that. But basically, we're very, very good friends in spite of that bad behavior from time to time. So I'll just pass the mic on.
Speaking of walking, that dovetails into my first story. There's so much, as John said, so many stories when you go on these trips. But my first exposure to the ministry was when Melanie and Gary brought it to Western Community Baptist Church, and they showed this video, and it they were following some of the children that walked to the feeding program, and they were hiking up their little traditional dresses, little three-year-olds, wading through streams of water up and down mountains. Some of them walked an hour or more to get a hot meal, and I just thought, wow. I'm thinking about my own family and how we could just open up our fridge anytime and eat whatever we want. And I knew that I was going to sponsor a child. For me, I worked downtown at that time for TELUS, and every day I would leave my work at lunch and get a coffee. And I thought, you know, if I didn't drink that coffee, I could sponsor one of these children. $2 a day for an Americano, it's about 40 bucks a month. That's how I started with the program, was forfeiting my coffee. So I do encourage you all to really pray about this and really think about this. I, like Gary and Melanie, thought, you know, I was doing this good thing. And then the first time I went down there, I was just blessed so much and realized that I was being blessed by doing this, by the people and the way that they lived and their love for God. So I'm just going to give you little snippets of my trips. My first mission trip to Guatemala, it was the contrast, it was the colors and the ancient and the modern. You fly into Guatemala City, you're in this crazy westernized city, and then you go up the mountains and it's very traditional. They're speaking their traditional language, they're farming in the traditional ways. But all through the country, the people are just, they're so humble. The visual presence of their love for God, the chicken buses, they keep coming up in this story, but on a lot of the chicken buses, they have scripture written. So everywhere you go, you see scripture. It's on the sides of buildings. It's on their houses. I mean, we don't see that here. You know, it woke me up is what it did. This is a scrapbook that I have kept. I always keep a scrapbook for my kids. And the first little guy that I sponsored, his name was Moises, and he's holding his hands like this, and he has a little attitude, and I just thought, I love that little attitude. So I sponsored him. He was the first guy. And I kept a scrapbook of all the letters that he had written me and some of the ones I'd written back. This was a letter I got from the ministry saying that Moises had accepted Jesus as his Savior. So that was a pretty amazing day in my life to think that I had something to do with that. Integrity is when you send, if you want to send an extra gift down, which I do quite often, I'll send just a cash donation. They will go to the family, ask them what the family needs. They will purchase it, and then they'll deliver it, and then they take pictures. So this is Moises receiving my donation. It's rice and beans and a beautiful blanket. He got a Bible, because I requested that for him, clothing. I was able to go right into the office and see the letters that I'd written him. This was a picture that we drew together on that first visit. This is a picture of him. Now, we met in a church. I think my friend Sharon's here. There she is. My friend Sharon, my very good friend. She was on this trip with me. And this is Pastor Goyo. He was a child in the program. And he, at this time, he was sponsoring three churches. He was pastoring three churches. And he had been a child that had been raised up through the program. So we got to go meet in a church, my first time meeting one of my sponsored children's, and we played this amazing soccer game. There was these three little guys, Sharon and I, and they played their hearts out. They were sweating, they were laughing, they were smiling. And that moment, for me, it was like a glimpse of heaven. God just said, this is what heaven is going to be like. I had so much joy in my heart that day. Anyhow, these are all letters that they write you in their language, and then there's translators in the office that will translate them into English for you. So that's that day, and I just had to pick him up and give him a big hug. So these are just more gifts. This was another trip that I had told him through letters that I was a songwriter, and he'd asked me if the next time I came to visit, could I bring my guitar and play for him. So, of course, I did that, and I actually brought this scrapbook, and I showed it to him. I wanted him to know that I had stayed connected and that every communication was very important to me. And when you go on those visits, the whole neighborhood comes. These were neighborhood children. This is his mom sitting in the background here. They just, as John said, they just bless you. They serve you. They gave us drinks. They just want to honor you because for them, it's like somebody's coming from around the world to visit us. It's a big deal. So I did eventually sponsor his sister too, Isabel. Moises is out of the program now because he's probably, I think he's about 19. So these are all just, they're all just pictures. And there's a display table out in the coffee room today too that has a lot more on it. So, I could go on and on about it. So that was my first experience. I cried every day in that first visit. I just felt like my heart was on the outside of my body. You just see so much, and it's overwhelming and amazing at the same time. My second trip, I met a little girl named Maria that I was sponsoring. And I had a similar experience to John. Their house was, it was very dark. We walked up this dirt road. There was all these tin sheets. That was their walls. And there was a river of garbage, full of garbage. And some people couldn't even continue up the road because there was such a dark, oppressive spirit over this area. Some of our team had to stay back. They couldn't, they were so overwhelmed, they couldn't even travel any further. But what was so amazing is her whole family was there, and I think there was five children. Her mother was there. Her father came in a little bit later. But her mother, what her mother's job was making tortillas, and her children would go out and sell them in the neighborhood, and that's how they made their money. Their father was a dysfunctional alcoholic, and you know, he got a little bit of work here and there in construction, but the mother was the one that was making all the money. So she wanted to serve us. She made tortillas, and she wanted us to eat one of the tortillas, and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to take food out of their mouths, but at the same time, I knew they were honoring me. So we ate the tortillas. And one of the things I'd done with Maria's family is I'd sent money down for a bicycle, actually for both Moises and Maria. And Maria's mom told me how that bicycle increased her ability to sell her tortillas. She would make the tortillas and send one of her children out. And the tortilla business was quite competitive in her area. There were a lot of mothers that were making tortillas. And because of this bike, she was able to sell more tortillas to feed her family. So I never realized that a bike, I just thought every child should have a bike, but I had no idea. The bike was being used by everybody in the family. So a little bit of money here goes a long way down there. Also, as I think Melanie was saying, or Gary was saying, that a lot of the fathers, they try to go to the United States, so they make this horrendous journey. They have to get over the border. They get over the border with intentions of coming back. They send money back for a while, but many of them end up having second families in Guatemala, and they never come back to their families. Sorry, second families in the U.S. never coming back to their families. So when I first started sponsoring Moises, his dad was one of those men. He was living in the United States. He'd been gone for 5 years. The third trip, I had asked through an interpreter, have you heard from your father? And he said, ah, mi padre, aquí. And I knew aquí meant here, and I'm like, he's here? And so his father was working that day, but his father had made it back. So that was a very positive story, because most of them don't make it back, or they just don't come back. So this father came back. He came back with enough money that they opened up a little storefront tienda, and that's where we visited them. And my fourth trip, which was 2017, Maria is now 17, and she's very bright. So I had been sending extra money down for her so that she could continue on in her education, because most kids in Guatemala, the government only pays up to grade 6, I believe it is, and then it's up to the families to come up with the money for any further education. So I wanted to help them with that. And she worked very hard and was qualifying for some scholarships. She was 17, and her family had bought, the only way that she would be able to be successful in this architecture courses that she wanted to take was to have a home computer. So her mother, this hardworking woman, bought a computer on time. So of course they were making these payments and paying all this interest. And I had decided that I was going to help her pay that off. So when I was down there, I asked the mother through the ministry how much money was needed, because you never want to give the families money directly because you just don't know where it's going. So it's all filtered through the ministry, which is great. And we paid off that computer, and Maria was able to get these scholarships, and she's working towards being an architect, which is incredible, because most of these families that we're going to be connected with are not going to have that kind of a future. So when I was there, she brought me some of her architecture drawings, because she was so proud of them, and she laid them out for me, and she was explaining to me what she'd created, and it was just an amazing blessing. And she just wanted me to know that those extra things that I invested in her, she was working really hard to make her education a priority. She also brought me a picture of a horse. She was involved with, she was volunteering with an organization that helped special needs children by providing horseback riding, and that was something she was doing as a volunteer. There's a young pastor there named Pastor Wilbur, and I saw him everywhere. I saw him in the feeding center helping with the food. I saw him doing discipleship. We saw him at night at the churches leading a church musically. At another church he was preaching, and I was just blown away by the commitment of this young pastor, and I just thought, wow. The churches there are amazing, too. You go there, and their love and their need for God is just so apparent, and they just welcome you. They're just so honored that you would come to there, and some of the churches are pretty little up in the mountains, but they're just so honored to have you there. It's just such a blessing. I just can't say enough about how open and honest this organization is. They follow up on everything you ask them to do. Just be part of it. That's all I can say. Yeah. I've been blessed so much by the people, by the ministry. yeah, I just want to say thank you, Melanie and Gary. Thank you, Travis, for letting us have this whole service. It's been amazing, and it's been a prayer of mine that an opportunity like this would happen at some point. So I'm just praising God for his faithfulness. John and Lynn, thank you for being part of it. And yeah, I think we'll just finish up our service. And we do have a table set up in the coffee room there if you want to see some more pictures. We'll share some more experiences. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Oh, hold on a second. There's one more very important video. Yeah, this video was put together after the third trip, and there was a young man who came with us. His name was Steve Baker. He's there with the hat in the back, and he came back and he wrote this amazing song. And another person that was on that trip put together this photo PowerPoint. And the song, every time I hear it, it just touches my heart so much. It's an anointed song. So we had a lot of trouble getting this piece of technology together, and I thank Gary and Marlene for all the effort they put in to make this work. It was really challenging, but I had just prayed, if God wants this to be shown, it'll happen, and here we are. So be blessed. This is one of Melanie and Gary's sponsored children's home. This is Moises. and that was Maria.